Greetings from Charlotte, North Carolina, as the NBA All-Star Weekend is about to tip off, and some really exciting times here in the Queen City, as they call it here in Charlotte, North Carolina, as folks are starting to arrive. This is a Thursday as we tape this, and we're with NBA.com International's Carlin Gay and Micah Adams, and kind of setting the scene here. NBA international content comes out of Charlotte, North Carolina. You hear them here often as part of our programming. And Micah, just for what this represents this weekend, why are folks kind of getting ready for what'll be really an international affair here in Charlotte?
I think that, this All-Star game, more so than perhaps any other, you're going to see really the influence of going all the way back to the last time that this All-Star game was here in 1991. Of course, 1 year after that was the Dream Team, right? The international impact that that group of American players had along the world. And then here you see 28 years later, that's sort of coming to fruition, right? We have 18 international players from 14 countries participating here this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's an all-time record. There are going to be 7 players in the Sunday main event, born outside the United States. If you flash back to the last time, pre-Dream Team, that the All-Star Game was here in Charlotte, across all competitions, there were only 2 players born outside of the United States participating in that weekend. So it really is sort of the perfect then and now snapshot for sort of how far we've come in terms of the global impact with the NBA.
You know, you talk about the All-Stars themselves. Team Giannis, of course, led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, a native of Greece, whose parents are from Nigeria, and Joel Embiid from Cameroon, Kyrie, Australia, Jokic, Serbia, Dirk's going to be in the game, the German connection there, Ben Simmons, the Australian, and you can't forget, Nikola Vucevic from Montenegro. But that game, in its own right, that's an international happening. As you guys cover NBA international topics for the NBA.com sites that are international, Carlin, you're seeing stories that range from these all-stars to a guy like Chris Boucher, who you interviewed earlier in the year. What here is becoming the real international story in your mind?
I think for us specifically, having the ability to cover things internationally, we kind of get the feel for what the impact of these players are making in their specific country. All 3 of us are, grew up in North America. We had the ability to see the Michael Jordans of the world and know that there's a direct path to the NBA. Now, globally, you're starting to see that more and more. You mentioned Ben Simmons, who's in Australia. He is a massive star in Australia. You mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo, who he is probably the biggest star, bar none, across all sports and maybe even entertainment, crossing over into that in Greece. So these players are setting the bar for and kind of creating dreams for some of these kids that are growing up to watch them and saying that if Giannis got there, maybe I could get there too. If Ben Simmons got there, maybe I could get there too. You see that across the league. Basketball Without Borders is a huge event every year at the All-Star game that probably doesn't get the huge media attention, but gets a lot of attention from the international media. And this year, 63 boys and girls are going to be there from top boys and girls from in high school age group are going to be there. And 27 of Basketball Without Borders alumni were on rosters to start this year, which was a record. So it's huge, and it's really what Micah said earlier on. It goes back to what the Dream Team did, and now guys actually seeing a path. Guys and girls are actually seeing a path to how to get to the next level.
We're here with Carlin Gay, who we're just hearing from, and Micah Adams, and they do the content for NBA.com international websites, and these range from the sites that you see in Latin America and Japan and Australia. And it's really great stuff that we tap into here for deeper conversations. And then you look at the events themselves. And I mean, let's just kind of break them down and we'll kind of swap them here. Micah, let's start with the Rising Stars game on Friday night. They do fun stuff like the celebrity game, but stars of the future really are playing in this game. Some guys who you almost thought could be in the actual All-Star game.
I think you could honestly make the argument that, it's an All-Star weekend, so we don't know how hard guys will play and whatnot. But that Rising Stars game, the talent on both the World and USA teams, I mean, that you could basically in 5 years, that could be the All-Star game. I mean, that's how deep both of those teams are. Sometimes, in years past, whether it's the U.S. versus the world or rookie versus sophomore. Sometimes it feels like there's a couple guys there that just maybe the talent pool isn't as deep or as rich. That is not the case this year, right? You have guys like Lauri Markkanen and DeAndre Ayton that could both make All-Star games in years to come. Jason Tatum's great. And those aren't even the biggest names when you start talking about Ben Simmons and Luka Doncic. And one really cool thing I think this year, seeing and covering Luka, especially from a global perspective, right, is so when we're creating and tailoring content for each of the eight markets that we are running our various NBA.com sites in, obviously we are trying to fit what we're doing to match the interests for those different populations. And something that we've seen with Luka, and really only on par with LeBron and Steph Curry, Luka mania is real. He is there's not any more interest in any other basketball player worldwide, really, than Luka Doncic. And it's actually a pretty stark contrast. I think Dwayne Wade was in Dallas playing his final game against Dirk the other night, and both of those, of course, are going to be the honorary captains here. And after the game, Dwayne Wade said that Luka reminds him of a young LeBron. And I think he's speaking about just on-the-floor talent, but really away from the court, just fan interest. General casual fans know who he is, and they know who he is everywhere. It's a stark contrast to 20 years ago, maybe, when Dirk first came in, and sort of there's this, you know, passing of the baton, but really it's about so much more than that, because the magnifying glass on Luka is already as big as it probably ever was, and maybe even bigger than even a guy like Dirk when he's winning MVP awards.
So Saturday night, we see some skills, the dunk contest, the three-point shootout. Let's kind of break those down, Carlin. Who you think shines in each of the examples? Maybe not skills necessarily, because that's kind of a grab bag of what's going to happen there. But I mean, let's even throw that in the mix too. Give me your takes for skills, three-point shootout, and who takes the dunk contest and why.
Yeah, the dunk contest is the most interesting one. I mean, you have a hometown kind of feel or a hometown hero in Dennis Smith Jr., who kind of went out of his way to participate in this event, now playing with the Knicks after the trade deadline deal, sending him there from Dallas. But he's a guy that's looking to put on a show. We were in attendance, Mike and I, when Dallas actually came to Charlotte to play that road game, and there was a different vibe with Dennis Smith Jr. He was performing, pretty much. He wanted to put on a show for 60-odd family members that were in the crowd that day. He's going to want to do the same thing. The world's watching. He knows that, and it's his home, as much as it is Curry's and Seth Curry, for that matter, as well. So I'm picking Dennis Smith Jr. to come out and really have a great performance at the slam dunk contest. Three-point competition, everybody knows and are going to be waiting to see Steph Curry go out there and really perform well. I'm picking the brother. I'm going with Seth Curry to have his breakout moment. For lack of a better term, he's kind of, sitting in the shadows of a two-time MVP, an NBA champion. But this is the weekend where he steps out and says, you know what, for at least one weekend, I'm the best shooter in the family. I have everything all the tools that my bigger brother has. So Steph Curry is my pick in that situation there. And then skills competition, as you said, it's a grab bag. There's not much there. De'Aaron Fox is a guy that, in the past, he's really a fun guy to watch. He's NASCAR on a basketball court. And, when you talk about the list of guys that are going to be there, he kind of pops out. Nikola Jokic is a guy that's wanted in the past. I like seeing the big men kind of compete at that level. So any of the bigs, that's who I'm going for. The guards, forget about them for now.
Micah, do you have a take on those three events?
I'll be quick with mine. I think Nikola Jokic is must-see. For as must-see as you can get in a skills challenge, which is sort of it's definitely the third in the pecking order of those Saturday events. Jokic is in the midst of the best passing season probably in NBA history by a center, so I think it will be fun to watch him sort of sprinting up and down the floor and showcasing his talents. I'm in full agreement with Carl, and I think there would be nothing better than a Curry versus Curry in the championship round. Maybe even Dell surprises us all and gets in there, and we have a three-way championship round with all three Currys. And I agree. I think watching Dennis Smith Jr. put on a show when he was here in Charlotte previously, one really odd thing that I think is worth watching out for when Dennis Smith Jr. was in the dunk contest last year, he had a dunk that he saved for the championship round, but he didn't get to make it. That was going to incorporate J. Cole, who is a North Carolina native and who is doing the halftime show here this weekend. So watch out for the Dennis Smith Jr. J. Cole combo to bring the house down on Saturday night.
That is really a deep cut. Good stuff there. I like that. Okay, so now to the both of you, as we talk about Sunday's All-Star game itself, it's Team LeBron versus Team Giannis, the second year they've done it where one of the All-Star captains pick the teams. This time we saw it out in the open, and the talent is different on both teams. They're intriguing rosters in their own rights, but when it's all said and done, Micah, who would you think would be the MVP of this All-Star game, knowing how the rosters have kind of shaken out?
I think it's going to be Steph. I think that one of the big storylines around the All-Star draft, which was great, by the way, they should have been doing this a long time ago. It was fantastic. I thought it was funny with LeBron getting all the free agents and all that talk. But I think at the end of the day, the two guys that I'm looking to really own this event are Kemba in front of his hometown crowd and Steph Curry. I think Steph, when he's come here before to Charlotte, has had some really big nights. I think on a couple years ago, it was Del Curry bobblehead night, and Steph went nuts. I think he had like a 30-point quarter or something crazy. So I look for Steph Curry to really put his stamp on the marquee event on Sunday after maybe he loses to his brother on Saturday.
Carlin.
Yeah, Steph would be the obvious pick. You know, the world's going to be watching him perform. I'm going with Kemba Walker. As Micah said, this is his city. It's become, I know he's from New York, but this has become his city. He really is, other than Cam Newton, the biggest athlete here in Charlotte. And you know, it's been a long, you know, a year long celebration of really his performance and also the team's performance, being the 30th year, 30th anniversary. Glenn Rice, who won the MVP last for Charlotte, came back and had a bobblehead night. You know, 15 years from now, we're going to have a Kemba Walker MVP bobblehead night after this week. And I think he picks up MVP at the Charlotte Arena this week.
NBA All-Star Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're joined by Roz Gold Onwude, who is just killing it here on the scene. The media junket, I guess, is the best way to explain what this is the guys come through and you interview them for NBA TV.
Yes, this is a fun day. It's the arrivals day. A lot of the young guys coming through for the Rising Stars, rookie year players, second year players. It's the beginning of their All-Star weekend, so people still kind of have energy and are still excited to do a little bit of media. So it's actually very refreshing and sweet to see the guys who are just here for their first time.
On this kind of day, there isn't a warrior to be found, but I wanted to come find you and find out how things are going.
It's exciting to see how these guys, especially the Warriors players, over the course of the years have gotten better organically. They were brought in through the draft. Over the years, they've gotten better together. They've grown together, not only as basketball players, as men, as family men. They got kids, they're married, as brands, as businesses. They're huge superstars now. You know, I can remember when it all began. I mean, we sound old now, but it's exciting, and I'm especially excited to see Steph go up against Seth Curry in the three-point contest. I actually just spoke with Seth, and he's really looking forward. They're going to have a huge family, Curry family contingent out here. They grew up, you know, he admires his brother so much. But when I had to interview him here, he said, I want to beat Steph in this. He said, I want to win the three-point contest. And if I win, I'm going to put the trophy in my house so every time he comes over, he has to see it. I was like, you better go ahead, Seth. Get you one, Seth. Also, talking Warriors connections, I just saw Ralph Walker. He is here for All-Star Weekend of Stephen Curry's, you know, security fame. He retired, rode off into the sunset. And he's here for the weekend, and I'm just really happy to see him. And Lawrence, I'm happy to see you.
A longtime Oakland police officer, yeah. Ralph Walker, who helped run the security detail for the Warriors, and just the nicest man you could possibly ever come to know. I mean, he's the sweetest guy.
He handled business as the Warriors were kind of growing to superstar fame. He managed the entire security detail for the Warriors.
So Bob and Jim and Kareth are on the broadcast, and we see you on the TNT broadcasts and doing work on NBA TV, and there's other things going on, and just people want to know, like, how is Roz?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really well. I'm very happy. Of course, I always miss the Warriors family and fan base. There's nothing quite like being with a team. I'm so glad that was my first NBA experience. It informs every single thing that I do. And when I've had the chance to come to Oracle back for TNT games, it feels like home still. And the reception I get is so heartwarming. And it is so mutual, the feeling. And these guys are forever going to be my family, forever. And, we were all in around the same age in life and all in our own respective rises or growth at the same time. And I was so blessed to be able to be a part of the Warriors wave. And it continues to help boost my career and inform me. But I'm happy now. I've got the opportunity to learn the whole league, meet all the coaches, meet all the players, do the big games, work playoffs. I'm loving the stage and the platform. And I think I'm coming into my own and improving and getting more opportunities now that I'm at the beginning of year two. So I'm hoping it'll be a breakthrough year, breakout year, and just continued growth. But I love working basketball games. I love being around the game. I've been playing since I was four.
Roz Gold on Wude here on Warrior Sound.